Welcome to the His Way Out Ministries broadcast with Pastor Philip Lee. A friend says to you, once gay, always gay. How do you respond? My child just told me he's gay. What can I do? What causes same-sex attraction? Can a Christian be gay? If I disagree with homosexual practice, am I intolerant and homophobic? Is change possible for the homosexual? How should the church be responding? His Way Out Ministries is dedicated to raising awareness, educating, encouraging, and equipping the body of Christ to minister to men, women, and their families with the unwanted brokenness of same-sex attraction. We believe restoration is possible and available through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and the healing power of the Holy Spirit. Christ Jesus is calling His church to meet the need of the hour. The question is, will we be prepared? And now, here's Pastor Philip Lee.
Good morning. Welcome once again to another broadcast of His Way Out Ministries. I'm very glad you could tune in and join me. If you had opportunity to join me last Saturday, then you're aware that my very, very special guest was a dear friend and ministry partner of many years, Carol Wagstaff, who happens to be the founder of Living Stones Ministries, which continues to this day to have its home base of operation in Glendora, California. But Carol now resides in Tucson. But Carol's on the phone with me this morning from Tucson, and we continue our conversation we began last Saturday, largely turning our attention to the impact of homosexuality on the family. Good morning, Carol, and welcome back.
Good morning, Philip. It's great to be with you.
Once again, I'd really like to start with your sharing with our listeners, once again, please, the title and the content of your new book.
We just put out a type of workbook, Philip, that's called Reclaim, Restore, and Rebuild, Hope for Families Impacted by Sexual Brokenness, and it's available through Amazon and Barnes & Noble. But the content of the book is the process that families go through when they learn about a child having same-sex attractions or transgender. We actually expanded it to that as well. So it's a process that families and particularly parents go through as they try to deal with this in the home. It's so very difficult. And I wanted something that could be done by an individual themselves or through a group in a church. I know the churches have been seeking ways to minister to their congregation and those families in the church, and there has not really been a tool, per se, for that. So that was my reason for coming up with this to be used in small groups. And for maybe that person on a farm who doesn't have a ministry nearby, that they can get help.
Yes.
So, again, it's called Reclaim, Restore, and Rebuild. And it's the process, again, of dealing with this issue in the home.
Well, your book could not be more timely. Again, as you well know, and we've been friends for many, many years, I've been the director of His Way Out now for 25 years, and I have never seen, to date, this whole subject matter, especially for Christian parents and the impact of homosexuality on their family. I have never seen or witnessed such an intense time. Maybe largely to a degree, I think, because we are in a holiday season, but many Christian families are in the midst of a tremendous battle and struggle because they want to honor Christ, but they also want to keep the lines of communication open with their gay-identified son or daughter, and it can be a tremendous challenge, can it not?
Yes, it can, particularly during the holidays. It's very difficult.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I really think we need to offer a little bit of a disclaimer here because I think sometimes we start turning our attention to and talking about discussing homosexuality. Sometimes it's too easy to make this whole thing just an issue, but we're talking about people.
Yes.
People whom God loves, people for whom Jesus died. And I really think we need to draw a distinction between homosexual attraction versus homosexual behavior. Do you agree?
I do agree, Philip. And it's very easy for us as Christians who have not dealt with this in our home to see them as one and the same. But I, with you, do not see it as something being the same. Mm-hmm. That when someone struggles with attractions does not mean that they have to claim the title of homosexual or gay. There is a difference between just struggling with the feelings and actually acting them out.
Yes.
And one leads to the other, which one leads into the sin of the behavior. But there is that incredible, difficult time when people who have had this struggle find it very difficult to deal with the emotions and their attractions. And many times they don't want it. I remember sitting in a small group where a man came in and was with us that night who struggled. He said, "I would have loved to have been anything but gay. I would rather be a drunkard. I would rather, you know, whatever. But this is the last thing I wanted for my life." And I don't think we as Christians perceive that that's a reality in some people.
Yes. And I really do believe, in terms of a clear distinction, there is a world of difference, at least the view from where I sit, a huge difference between homosexual tendencies versus someone who says, "I'm gay."
That's absolutely
When
right.
you embrace the gay identity, which I did in my own life for many, many years, you're wrapping yourself entirely in an identity based upon your sexuality. Now, you would think, because we are sexual beings, our sexuality is a potent part of who we are, but it's not all of who we are.
That's right. That's really true. And you know, it really helped me one time. I heard a speaker, Philip, talk about to compare that like to being Republican or Democrat. Some of us would value the beliefs of the Republican or a Democrat, but we don't have to take on that label.
Right.
And so the same thing is true of someone who struggles with homosexuality. They don't have to take on that label. They don't have to believe that's who they are.
Exactly.
And so I think that's an important part of understanding this whole process for the individual themselves.
What I'd like to ask you, Carol, because again, you have many, many, many years of ministry to families, and in particular, parents, mom and dad. In coming alongside Christian parents with a gay-identified son or daughter, where do you recommend ministry begin?
I believe the ministry needs to begin with the parents. I know that many times parents panic when their children come out to them and they don't know what to do, but to be able to just be quiet for a moment and say, "Okay, God, what would you want for me to do?" And I think for that person to realize the impact that they have on their child is probably greater than anyone they're going to meet. And I believe the very first thing we need to do is to listen to our children. It's so easy, Philip. We're such a busy society, and we have so many things that must be done and responsibilities. And it's very hard for us to sit down with our children and listen to them.
Yes.
And I think listening is ministry. I think of in my own counseling how often just listening to someone is very healing to them.
Yes.
So to be able to sit down with their child and say, "Please, son or daughter, please tell me about this. When did you first have those feelings? How have you felt since that time? What makes you think that this is something you have to do?" That type of discussion, I think, is important. And particularly not to offer our opinions at that moment, but to just hear them, hear their pain,
yes.
hear their struggle, hear what they're feeling in their own sense of grief or shame. I think of people that have come out of homosexuality and the backgrounds that they have often. And I think of Andy Comiskey particularly and how he was made fun of by fellow students and that type of thing that often happens, you know, with young people and children particularly. And so if we can get our children to talk to us, and not to rush them or not to preach to them or not to tell them what the scriptures in the Bible are, but to listen to them.
Yes.
So, so important.
That's so, so important. I'm so grateful that you're emphasizing that because, and I can't remember if someone spoke this to me or I read it somewhere, but I do remember vividly, I never forgot it. If you really want to be able to speak into an individual's life or have impact, you want to connect with them, reach them. In the first 3 steps out of 10 of being an effective communicator, the first 3 steps are listen, listen, listen.
Absolutely.
And that's often very hard for us to do because, as you said, we're all so busy that we just want to jump in and we want this thing fixed immediately. And that's often now how it plays out, does it?
Yes, it is. And it's so, and to listen in a way that is not critical, not to respond to everything they tell you or even be defensive. We have a tendency as parents sometimes to defend ourselves about something our children say. And to be able just to listen, not to respond, not to be critical, not to be defensive, but just to listen to them.
Yes.
And ask for open questions, which is, tell me about this. Let me hear more about this situation. What do you mean by saying this? And so it gives them an open door to just keep talking.
Yes.
If we ask them too distinct a question that they can answer, then they will stop talking.
Yes.
But if we open our question, ask them open questions in order to get them to talk.
Mm-hmm. I think one of the questions that I think is extremely helpful in sitting across from not only just a gay-identified son or daughter, but anyone struggling with same-sex attraction, those who would say, I'm gay, is to look at the individual and say, help me here. What does that mean? What are you saying? Are you saying this is who you are and this is how you're going to live your life? This is the direction you're going to go? Or are you saying, no, I'm not in agreement with this. I'm going to fight this. So it keeps those lines of communication open, which is critically important.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that's hard at first, particularly when we've just found out. Parents are grieving so much, I think, when
yes.
they first hear the news, or they're scared or they're confused or whatever. So it's difficult for them. But to be able to pray and ask God's peace in your life so that you can sit down and listen to your child
yes.
is so very important, so important.
I'd like us to discuss for a little bit because, again, we're right here in the holiday season. Christmas is just a couple of weeks away. And I think I shared on our previous broadcast when you and I were discussing this that I've never seen in our 25-year history of His Way Out things so intense during this particular holiday season. And I think one of the reasons why it's become even more intense is because of the legalization of same-sex marriage here in America. We're having many children coming into the family saying, look, I am now legally married, and you've got to accept this, and if you don't, I'm out of here. And it's really, really causing a lot of havoc in a lot of Christian families. So we need to talk, I think, a bit about setting boundaries in our homes. What are some of those boundaries?
You know what, Philip, and I have taken this stance to some degree that God is the one who needs to set the boundaries, not me.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you what to do, and you can listen to me, and you can say, that's just what she thinks.
Yes.
But we need to really, again, bring God into that picture. What would God have happen in that situation?
Yes.
And so if we have, let's say, a child who, and you mentioned that they were married, you know, same-sex marriage, I'm assuming. And we always have that question come to us, well, should I go to the wedding? What should I do there? And that alone is another question that I often say to parents, okay, I may not be in your life 10 years from now. What would God tell you to do? Have you asked him? Have
Good
you
point.
Said to him, what would you have me do, Father?
Yes. Yes.
Good and point. I find that if we are really sensitive about what God wants us to do, we will come up with the idea that coming to the marriage and attending the marriage often states that we are approving of what is going on there.
Hmm.
Now, again, I've had a few exceptions in my life. I remember one girl whose mother was a strong Christian, and she married another girl, and she said her mother came because she loved her, but she sat through the entire wedding crying. What was interesting was it was less than 6 months before that marriage broke up, the two of them broke up. And, you know, I have often thought, because we are ex-gay leaders, Philip, that people come to us and they want the easy road out. Tell me what to do.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me what I should do. And I think we have to prompt them to turn to the Lord, but also to consider, what's this going to mean 10 years down the line?
Good point.
How am I going to respond to this situation when it comes up 10 years down the line? Because
yeah.
sometimes those relationships don't change right away. And I've seen that in my own relationship with parents and families. Sometimes the parents, because they haven't held firm boundaries from the very beginning, they get down to 10 years to it, and it becomes very comfortable for them to have both their child and their gay partner in the home sleeping together and not holding to God's standards.
Yes.
And I think that's very important. We also don't want to take the stance that we don't want them in our home. Our other children bring their love, their good friends, their perhaps their fiancé or whatever, bring them into the home. But the boundaries include, how do I want this to play out in my home in the long term? Do I want to be comfortable with gay talk? No, I don't. I don't want that to be brought up in my home. And that would be a boundary for me.
Yes.
Do I want displays of affection so that my grandchildren see this happening? No, I don't want that. So that becomes a boundary for me. And I think as we go along in these kind of boundaries, Philip, we have to say to ourselves, what do we want and how are we going to say that? And so many parents are afraid to lay boundaries because they often feel that love means letting their kid do whatever the kid wants to do.
Mm-hmm. Right, yes.
So it's very difficult to say, now, son, I love you dearly. I know that I can't change you, but I'm going to ask you because I love you that you will hold to the boundaries of our home. And this is what I would like. I don't want you to talk about gay issues,
yes.
And we will not bring it up while you're here.
Respect is a two-way street, isn't it?
Absolutely. It really is.
Yes.
And to be able to not show affection, to not... we're not going to allow you to have a bedroom together.
Yes, exactly. I think sometimes, too, in coming to a place of decision, what would it say or how it's to be said, I think sometimes we can take homosexuality completely out of the equation. How would we respond? What would we do? What would our actions be if, let's say, my son was coming home with his girlfriend and we spent a nice day together, but now it's evening time, and it's good night, Mom and Dad. We're going upstairs to go to bed. Hold it. You're not going to the same bedroom. Not in my home.
Yes, yes. And that's it's a very difficult thing to do, Philip, for parents. It really is. And I remember Barbara Johnson, you remember, where did your mother go to resign? And Barbara and I worked for a long time, and she would often say, if it's too difficult for you to have your partner in your home, maybe you celebrate together by having a meal at a restaurant.
Yeah.
Or something where you aren't confronted with that right away, particularly if you're child has just told you that they have a partner and they want to bring them home for Christmas, and you've only known about this for a couple of weeks prior to them wanting to come home with that person.
Yes.
And you can say to them as a parent, you know, son, I love you dearly. I love you. But I'm not accustomed yet. You've had a long time to process your same-sex attractions. I don't know how long you've known your partner. But Mom and Dad need some time.
Yes.
So I don't think this holiday is the best time to do it. Let's wait.
Yes. And I like your point there. They sit across from us sometimes and they're demanding that we accept this, that, and the other. And it's appropriate for Mom and Dad in particular to look at their son and daughter and say, look, you're going to have to give me some time to absorb this because right now I'm just reeling with emotion.
Yes, absolutely. You know, often I think sometimes the child is advised by gay friends or someone like that who has very strong opinions that your parents need to approve of this. So
yes.
Therefore, you need to tell them this is what's going to happen if they don't. But I have found often that children who will say those kinds of things often don't hold to that. There are some that do, but they don't. They're just looking for a way to strong-arm Mom and Dad.
Yes, yes.
So I think it's important for the parents to say, we need time. You've had a long time to process this, but this is just new news to us.
I think for some men and women too, Carol, that the gay identity is like a consuming fire. Everything revolves around, I'm gay, I'm gay. And that in itself can present a huge, huge challenge, especially for the family, because if you can't come to a place of some sort of agreement, mutual respect and understanding, it does cause havoc throughout the entire family.
Yes.
And as I said a moment ago, I mean, yes, we are sexual beings. That's how God created us. Our sexuality really is a wonderful gift from God, providing sexual expression stays within God's well-defined holy boundary lines.
Yes, that's true.
And let's bring it right down to where the rubber meets the road. In terms of sexual expression, as faithful followers of Christ Jesus, we only have two appointed options per God our Father. One is a man and a woman, the two remaining faithful to one another as a marriage vow stake till death do we part. That's option one. Option two really revolves around a question. The question being, are you single? If the answer is yes, you're not to be sexually active, period.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Now, I guarantee you, travel the world and preach and teach that little number, and it's often not well received.
No, that's absolutely right, Philip. But you know what? We don't have to bear that blame. You know, I often think about how often I have been asked, well, why do you try to help people like this? Don't you know they're born that way? And what's wrong with it, you know? And to be able to say, this is God's desire. And it's not a negative thing. It's not a punishment. But to know that God wants you, wants the best for you. And so he has set these boundaries on our lives so that we can be the happiest and the best person that we can be for him. And to live our lives that way.
Yes, absolutely. Why do you suppose, I'm going to tag on what you just shared with us, why do you suppose that there are so many today challenging if a man or a woman can truly change? Now, change is a vast topic, heaven knows. Mm-hmm. But once again, we bring it back to the truth and the authority of Scripture, where God says very clearly, yes, change is possible. Now, change is going to play out differently from life to life because we're all composites of past life experiences. We're all unique individuals. Mm-hmm. Is change possible? God says it is, but that is greatly, greatly, even today, strongly being challenged, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And I think what's very difficult, and you brought it up already, is that the definition of change, what do we mean by change? And what does that entail? And I think sometimes when people say, well, they can't change, then maybe our response needs to be, what do you mean by that? What does it mean to be changed? But God gives us the power through him to overcome whatever is going on in our lives, and he changes our hearts, and that's incredible change.
Yes.
Maybe our same-sex attractions or temptations don't change right away, but God, through time and through our maturity and our growth with him, can bring real change. Change in our attractions,
yes,
for example. And that is powerful through him. But the main thing that I see is that there's so many implications and levels of meaning there that we have to be very careful in how we address that.
Yes.
And realize, again, it is a maturity, a time process. It's just like any Christian who is growing in Christ and growing in that sanctification to grow in the Lord, it makes all the difference in our lives,
yes,
as time goes on.
Absolutely. And where do these men and women that want to address their unwanted same-sex attraction, where do they go for the love, encouragement, support that they are going to need for this journey? And I would submit they must enter the church. I still believe the church remains God's vehicle to reach wounded, broken, hurting humanity, and that includes men and women with unwanted same-sex attraction. If they can't find that support and ministry that they are each going to need, absolutely, through the process, if the church isn't offering that, where else are these men and women to go?
You know, that's painful, Philip, because I agree with you. The church is the only place where unconditional love can be brought to that person in a way to change. And I think it's sad to me. There are ministries like yours and like mine that we help people in that way. But, you know, beyond that, the church is the only option. And it's much more difficult these days when the churches are compromising about this issue.
And being silent.
Saying it's fine to be gay and Christian. And that, again, is very, very painful to me, even as I talk about it.
Hmm. Well, I know in my own life, had it not been some 33 years ago for a church that welcomed me with open arms and a senior pastor and an associate pastor who began to mentor me and disciple me and love me through the process, had it not been for the church at the very beginning, at the point where I surrendered my life to Christ, I don't know that you and I would be talking right now.
Yes. And I think it's important in this process, if there are pastors that are listening, Philip, for them to educate themselves in this area,
yes,
so that they can educate their congregation to, yes, know how to respond to people like this who are coming to the church, perhaps, and to know how to love people without condoning or blessing their behavior. And it is something that God can do through any of us.
Mm-hmm.
Even in our relationships with friends and so on like that. But the church is the place where the most love and help can be shown. And
yes,
I agree with you on that. I hope that the churches can be blessed by doing this as we have known it.
Yes. One of my primary concerns today is that it seems as though many are trying to avoid the whole subject matter entirely. But again, in my life, it had not been for a loving church that made a huge difference in my life. And what's so ironic, and if not just absolutely totally intriguing, is that my first pastor, senior pastor, and the associate pastor of the church, these two wonderful men, had never read a book in coming out of homosexuality. They never gone to an ex-aid conference or attended a workshop. They believed in the power of the Holy Spirit to transform a life. What a concept, huh?
Oh, wow. Praise God. We wouldn't have you, Philip, if that hadn't happened. And the world would be less educated and less helped because you had not known that. But praise God for those men. And I wish every pastor were like that. And I agree with you that many of them are afraid. And unfortunately, sometimes it's the families of those gay-identified kids that are pushing the pastors to do what they do to compromise, because they don't want to see their children not being fulfilled or honored in their church. And so they're putting pressure on pastors who actually compromise in this area. So I'm so grateful for strong pastors who hold to the Word of God and who can still love and make a difference in the lives of those that come to them.
And who will preach and teach and disciple the whole entire Word of God, not just bits and pieces.
Amen.
And God has a lot to say in His Word about what is permissible and what is not. It's very, very, very clear.
Yes,
and
sir.
I really do believe this. When we each stand before God the Father and give an account of our lives, I don't see God looking at anyone going, hey, how many homosexuals did you get saved? But I do hear Him ask, how rightly and correctly did you offer and use my Word?
I like that song.
And His Word is powerful to this day. God has, and He is, and He will continue to set men and women free from the snare and the brokenness of homosexuality, because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
Well, my friend, we are running out of time once again much too quickly. I so appreciate you and your contributions in this area of ministry over these many, many years. Again, remind us the title of your book.
Reclaim, Restore, and Rebuild.
And it can be purchased at Amazon.
Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
Okay.
Redemption Press was the publisher. They could also find that online, I'm sure, if they wanted to purchase it that way.
And the website address for Living Stones Ministries is?
LivingStonesMinistries.org.
Excellent. Well, again, thank you so much for joining me. I greatly appreciate you and all of you have contributed to God's kingdom and helping so many people who are wanting and seeking answers that can be found in Christ Jesus. And for all of our listeners, thanks again for tuning in. I hope you'll join me again next Saturday, same time, same station. Until then, our Lord richly bless and keep you.
Amen.
Thanks so much for tuning in this morning. Please join us next Saturday for another His Way Out Ministries broadcast, dedicated to ministering to the body of Christ and the community at large, with the power of testimony, the dialogue of issues, and the truth of Scripture.